Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
What a beautiful day. So glad to see so many of you still here, staying around after the feast. There's a new rule, by the way, at Rock Valley. If you happen to remain for the Sabbath after the feast, you have to stay the whole year. I see you out there. So just, settle in wherever you stayed last night, and that's where you will be. I don't, call that your home now. I want to thank you in advance, too, for those of you that have been so eager to volunteer to help at the church. It was so awesome to see the Leslies there yesterday, just picking up stuff, just helping. Just helping us out. It was such a blessing. And Donna Fear as well, just picking up. It's pretty exciting, though, just to see the little steps of progress. Scott did some cleaning yesterday. It's amazing. It starts to clean up. A lot of debris, a lot of rubbish needs to be cleaned up, but it's amazing how quickly it starts to transform, and isn't that just the lesson of it? So I hope when we're there tomorrow, and we're cleaning out the debris, and we're cleaning it out, we don't miss the spiritual lessons in what we're doing, because God has blessed us with this facility to facilitate ministry and worship, and we don't want to miss the lessons of what's going on, because if we can learn that lesson, get the debris out, sanctify a place, prepare it for service and ministry, I think we'll have solved one of the great lessons of life. So, anyway, thank you in advance for those of you who are coming. I know that after being gone for the feast, it's hard to get time to do that, and certainly we understand anybody that's not there really at any time, because one of the things we want is those who come because they have a willing heart. And that's one of the requirements that we have at Rock Valley, that if you're going to come to serve, that you come with a willing heart to serve. And that's the spirit that God wants to see. So I'd like to begin this message in the book of Isaiah. If you would turn with me to Isaiah chapter 66, we're going to begin here in verse 1. Isaiah 66 verse 1, it says, "Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build for me? Where is the place of my rest? Where is the house that you will build for me and where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made and all those things exist, says the Lord, but on this one will I look. To him who is of a poor and contrite spirit, who trembles at my word." Now, we're talking about cleaning out a church tomorrow. But God says, look at all these things my hand has made. Where do I look for my house? Where do I look for my rest? On him who is of a poor and a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. I want you to think about that. What does it mean even to have a house, to be at home? I don't know how it is with you guys, but when I'm at home, it's a little different. It's not uncommon to see one of my kids running around with nothing on. I mean, that does not happen except at the house. Things are a little different there. It's like, put some clothes on. The exhibitionist in the house. But, guys are fun that way, actually. It's kind of funny. But the thing is, when you're at home, don't you feel more relaxed? When you're in public, you're on your game, right? You're at work, you're on your game. You're doing things, and you have to be very attentive to things that are going on around you all the time. You go out in public, you go to the store, whatever it is. But when you're at your house, just relaxed. You feel very comfortable, usually in your home, right? And you have these feelings that are a little different. You're just a little more yourself. And sometimes not always in a good way, right? Sometimes it's not always the best way at home. You get a little familiar, and you're not always at the best. But God is saying, where's my house? The place of my rest? Where can I just relax? I want us to think about this concept, because he's saying, it's not in a building, but to him who is of a poor and contrite spirit and trembles at my word. Why is that the case? Why is that the case? Turn with me now over to Acts chapter 7. Notice here in Stephen's sermon, as he is inspired to give this sermon, he quotes these verses in Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, verse 44. Notice this. "Our fathers had a tabernacle of witness in the wilderness as he appointed." So remember that God had given Moses these instructions. He said, this is how you're going to build the tabernacle. So our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he appointed, instructing Moses to make it according to the pattern that he had seen, which our fathers, having received it in turn, also brought with Joshua into the land possessed by the Gentiles, whom God drove out before the face of our fathers until the days of David, who found favor before God and asked to find a dwelling for the God of Jacob. Isn't that beautiful? So all this time, he was in tents. He was dwelling in a sojourning way. And God said all this time in tabernacles, and David said, I want a place for you. I want a place for you. So David, who found favor before God and asked to find a dwelling place for God of Jacob, but Solomon built him a house. However, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands, as the prophet says. Heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Lord? Where is the place of my rest? Has my hand not made all these things? But David found favor because he wanted to build this house for the Lord. Solomon built the house. Yet God was saying, I don't need that house. But he was pleased. He was pleased because what David had in his heart was a desire to have a house for God. Do you have a desire to have a house for God? A place where God can abide. A place where God is comfortable residing in you. You are the temple of the Spirit. You are the place that God wants to dwell. He wants to inhabit your life. And He wants to rest in that place. He wants to relax. He wants to feel comfortable with the place that you make. But notice this, he goes on. He says, verse 49, Heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Has my hand not made all things? You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Do you hear the cry in that? God is saying, I want to dwell with you. I want to be with you. I want to make my home with you. But when my Spirit comes near, you resist. I'm trying to be with you. We sang the song, Reconciled to God, a new creation in worship this morning. We finished, Reconciled to God, Reconciled to You. Everything that God is doing is about reconciling us to Him, that He can have fellowship with us and we one with another, that our fellowship is in Christ and with each other. And for that to work, there has to be reconciliation, right? Otherwise, what do you get in relationships without reconciliation? Fighting, striving, conflict, hurt feelings, sin, brokenheartedness, hardheartedness. I want it my own way. I'll do it my way. Who are you to tell me? I don't have to serve you. You're not being right. All these things come out in relationships where there's a lack of reconciliation. God is saying, why are you always fighting me? Don't you know what I want to do here? I want a place to dwell with you. I want a place to live. Said in Genesis 6:3, the world was filled with violence. He said, my spirit will not always strive with man. But see, God is here now, pushing into us, saying, let me dwell in you. Let me dwell in you. So which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by directions of angels and have not kept it. You have it, but you don't keep it. Jesus was there. It's like, you search the Scriptures daily, because in them you think you have life. But they failed to bring you to me, the one who will give you life. See, this word is so powerful because it leads us to the one who wrote the words. We hear the voice of God. We see the heart of God. We know who God is as He reveals Himself to us in it. But if we just think of this as just a book of literature or a book of rules or a book of instructions that is not personal, that is not being kept in who we know God is, it has no impact on our lives. You want to obey God? Know God. When you know God and you seek God, as you see Him, you will be changed. He says, you love because He first loved you. When you focus on God's love and you realize how big His love is and you see the enormity of His heart and His spirit and His mercy and His tenderness, it makes you like Him. He has a way of showing you who He is, of giving you a revelation of the way He lives life. And the more acquainted you are with God, the more it makes you like God. That is the walk of faith. Seeing Him in faith, believing in who He is, transforms the heart and mind into a new creature. It's going beyond the words to seeing Him. It's going beyond the place of ourselves and what we need to do and saying, God, I want a place for You to dwell. I want a place where You can live. Turn with me now over to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Let's look at David who found favor with God and who desired to build this dwelling place. Notice this, 2 Samuel chapter 7. Let's pick it up here in verse 1. Now it came to pass when the king, speaking of David, was dwelling in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies all around. Beautiful, isn't it? As the king said to Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells inside tent curtains. Here I am in my, I got my own place. I want a place for God. Nathan said to the king, go do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you. But it happened that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan saying, go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build a house for me to dwell in? For I have not dwelt in a house since the time that I brought the children of Israel up from Egypt, even to this day, but have moved about in a tent and in a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about with all the children of Israel, have I spoken a word to anyone from the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus shall you say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I have been with you wherever you have gone, and have cut off all your enemies from before you, and have made you a great name like the name of the great men who are on the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more, nor shall the sons of wickedness oppress them any more as previously. Since the time that I command judges to be over my people Israel and have caused you to rest from all your enemies, also the Lord tells you that He will make you a house. That He will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish His kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of His kingdom forever. I will be His father, and He shall be my son. Isn't that awesome? David is inspired. He looks at God and says, He's dwelling in curtains. He's dwelling in tents. Here I am in this house. I want a dwelling place for God. Is that the call of your heart? That you say, I want a place for God to dwell. See, it wasn't about the building. It was about the heart
that here is David thinking about God. It's so easy to look for our own rest, our own blessing. God, help me with this. Help me in my business. Help me with my work. Help me with this sickness. Help me with my house. Help me with whatever it is we're going for. What about me, God? And man was looking all at himself, and God said, you know, I wanted a place. But everybody kept thinking about their own house. Everybody kept thinking about their life. Everybody kept thinking about their inheritance and what they were leaving behind. And David, there, seeing what God had blessed him with, seeing that God had given him a house, seeing that God had raised him up, seeing that God had given him rest from his enemies, said, I want a place for God. You see, as God calls us to know Him, as God calls us into this relationship through the gospel, He's calling us as children. Children don't know much, right? They know I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I got poopy diaper, right? Change me, right? You hear the little ones, they just cry out, help me out here. Get me dressed in the morning. Shelter me, hug me, read to me, teach me. When you start out as a child spiritually, it's all about what's God going to do for you. You need God to do everything like a parent with a child. But as God takes you on the course of life, as God shows you and you grow and mature, what God is saying is at some point now you've got to start thinking outside yourself. At some point you have to start thinking about what am I doing to serve my God? What am I doing to serve others? The thought of David that God is talking about here in 1 Samuel is like, who's ever thought of this? He's saying, yes, someone is now thinking about God. See, the first and great commandment that we are heading toward is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. It is so outflowing. It's so easy to be selfish, isn't it? It's so easy to think about your own life. And God is saying, who's thinking about me? He said, now the house itself, the building, the structure, I don't need that. What do I want? Where do I want to dwell? I want to dwell with you. Turn with me over to the book of John, chapter 14. Jesus, on the night in which He is going to be betrayed, crucified, He knows exactly what's going to be happening. He knows all the prophecies. He knows everything that's written. If ever there was a time to be thinking about yourself, it would have been that night. Read that, John 14, 15, 16, and 17, with that in mind sometime. Just read that, knowing that what He knew was He was going to be taken, betrayed, all His friends, all His disciples were going to flee from Him, that He was going to be alone, falsely accused, beaten, mocked, beard pulled out, punched, hit, beaten with rods, scourged, crucified, stripped of His clothes, put up on a tree. And then you read these things, you're like, who is this that thinks like this, that knowing what He's going to go through, His mind is so somewhere else. But it was that heart and mind that was somewhere else that caused Him to endure the cross. You have trials in your life. You go through things in your life. How do you get through it? If you think it's by stopping thinking about other people to focus on yourself and my life, my house, my stuff, it's not. It's about thinking about God and creating the place for Him through the midst of storms and trials and the busyness of activity in life. That's where permanency is found. Notice in John 14, verse 1 now. John 14, 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Oh, Jesus. Seriously. I mean, how good is He? Knowing what is going to be happening to Him hours from the moment He spoke these words. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. God's heart is to prepare a place for you. And what he is preparing to do this evening when he was speaking to his disciples here in John 14 was thinking about a place for them. Thinking about how do I wash them? How do I sanctify them? How do I usher them into the throne room of God? And he said, and if I go to prepare a place for you, verse 3, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know. And the way, you know. Drop down now with me to verse 15. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you. You, to be a place, an abiding place, a home for God. That you would have this permanence with God in you, the hope of glory. Verse 18, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. I'm not going to leave you alone. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Know who I am. Know the way. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. What kind of unity and reconciliation is that? You see, God has put us here on this earth. And friends, I know it's not always the easiest thing to be reconciled with everybody, is it? It's not always the easiest thing to have an open heart. But I'll tell you, it can be easy if you're willing to let debts go and you're willing to pour yourself out in service to others. It gets very simple when you think, my life is to make sure God is comfortable here. You see, when we hold debt and sin against someone else, God's not comfortable with that. In fact, he said, if you're not going to be forgiving of others, I'm not going to be forgiving of you. I'm not comfortable with that. I'm comfortable with realizing people sin. Human beings fall short of the glory of God. It was that way from the beginning, and Christ was slain from the foundation of the world to remedy it. Will you allow his sacrifice to be enough in your heart, in your mind, to allow you to forgive others? And will you allow his sacrifice and his love to be enough in your heart to serve others? The realities of your life, is God welcome in it? Does God have rest in it? Or are we striving with God from what he is trying to produce, which is a perfect reconciliation that he says in these verses? He says, at that day, verse 20, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. The unity of faith, the unity of belief, the unity of practice in God's love, one for another. That is what has to be evidenced. And it's amazing because when you look at religions, even when Jesus came on the scene, you had the Pharisees who were real strict. You had the... That was like such a bad flip, but it's just, I guess if the word fits, wear it. But they were so strict in what they were doing. You had the Sadducees, they didn't even believe in the resurrection of the dead. You had sinners, you had all these different groups of people in life, and they didn't agree on things. And as you go through life, and you see all the differences of people, God offers opportunities for forbearance, for long suffering, for love, caring about somebody else who doesn't agree with you. I think he does it on purpose. Because God has had to learn to love and be reconciled to and be forgiving of those who are different. And part of the character is that God is godly all the time. He's not restricted by anybody else from being who He is. Isn't that amazing? He is God all the time. In righteousness, in truth, in holiness, in love. He is godly all the time. So God is godly all the time. We rely on this in God. And what God wants to see is, are you going to be godly all the time? Are you going to remain in me? Are you going to say, nah, I don't really like your spirit and where your spirit's leading me in this circumstance. I want to get away, God. See, that's what Stephen was crying out. He's like, you always resist. You uncircumcised in heart and in ear. You're resisting me. Don't resist. Make your life a place where I'm welcome. God wants to be welcomed. And God will always be God in your life. So simplify your life to know where unity stands and realize that not everybody is going to be exactly on all the same thought and page, and that is not a restriction from you caring for somebody else. It doesn't stop it. If it stops it, then what credit have you? If you only greet those who greet you, what credit is it to you? Even sinners do that. If you're only kind to those who are kind to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. If you only love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners can do that. You get no credit for that. But love your enemies, pray for those who spitefully use you, be kind to the unthankful and evil. For then you will be like sons of the Most High, who sends the rain on the just and the unjust. He's kind all the time. That's who He is. Remember who God is. Remember where He feels comfortable. Where He's relaxed. Where that heart is. Not the heart striving with Him or against Him, but the heart that is yielded. Verse 21, He who has My commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves Me. This is a big theme that God spoke often through John, both in the Gospel of John and in the epistles that John wrote. The commandments and love, loving God and the commandments, they go hand in hand because it's about His way, who He is. Where does God feel comfortable? He keeps them. It is He who loves Me. And he who loves Me will be loved by My Father, and I will love him and manifest Myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to Him, Lord, how is it that You will manifest Yourself to us and not to the world? Interesting. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said, If anyone loves Me, he will keep My word, and My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Isn't that beautiful? So you say, how do I stop striving with God? He says, by loving Him, thinking about Him, by keeping His word. Hebrews 3 says, by believing and obeying. He said they didn't enter His rest because they weren't believing. They weren't obeying what He did. They were going after sin. When we follow after ways that are not God's, when we follow after ways that aren't according to God's word, it's like striving with the Spirit and saying, get away from me. Don't press on me at this moment. Don't dwell in me at this time. You got to say, no. This is what I want. I want to make My home with you. Verse 24, He who does not love Me does not keep My words. And the word which you hear is not Mine, but the Father's who sent Me. God has a word for us to understand. A word for us to keep. Let's turn over to Hebrews 3 because I keep referencing it. Let's just read it verse quickly. Hebrews chapter 3. Notice here in verse 7. So as the Holy Spirit says, this is Hebrews 3. Verse 7, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested Me, tried Me, saw My works 40 years, therefore I was angry with that generation, said, they always go astray in their heart, they have not known My ways. Oh. And this is what God is doing in our lives. He's showing Himself. He's revealing more of who He is so that we can see the way He cares for us, the way He loves us, the way He provides for us, and all the things that God does that we give Him glory and our attentions go onto thinking about Him. Because when our attentions are thinking about Him, we're going to be building that place where He's comfortable. Who's the best guest that can come to your house? Who's the one that you want to be welcomed so that he can feel so comfortable? You know, one of the things about the church of God, one of the things that should be evidenced in our love for one another is being hospitable with one another. Are you having people to your house? Are you offering to them? But when you do, you have the opportunity to treat them like the King. Well, can I get you to drink? Here's food to eat. Here's fellowship. Are you comfortable? Is it warm enough? Is it cool enough? Whatever it is. I'm going to freeze you out no matter what, but I mean, come over anyway in summer. Bring your sweater. But there's this thinking of others. So verse 11, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Beware lest you have that heart. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. See, that deceitfulness of sin can tell you, you are preparing a home for God. Because God's never going to leave you, never going to forsake you. Well, He won't. But the question is not about whether God is going to stop being godly. The question is whether you and I are going to stop being godly. Whether we're going to turn our back on God and who He is and start striving. Start resisting. Start pushing Him away. Not opening up our hearts to who He is, to where He wants to dwell, to making our lives a place where God is always comfortable dwelling. Really think about that. Have you sought to make your life a house for God? Have you sought to make it a place where God is comfortable? Not just when you come to church, but in your daily walk, in your daily living. Have you sought to make your life a place where He can abide? Where eternity can take hold? Where His love and His kindness can take hold in the way that you live your life and conduct yourself? Not thinking of ourselves, but learning to love God, learning to love neighbor. That's where God wants to be, and that's where all real ministry comes from. Where God is. Because where God is, there is blessing. That's what He was saying to David that we read there in 2 Samuel chapter 7. He's saying, because you're intent on making a place for me, God's saying, I'm intent on making a place for you. I'm intent on making a place for you. If you seek to bless me, God's saying, oh, I just want to bless you. He's saying, you want to come and make permanence for me? I want to come and make permanence for you. That's what He was telling David. That's what He was saying through Nathan the prophet. I love your attitude. I love your heart for me. Because you're intent on building that house for me and making this place for me. So, he says, dropping down in verse 16, but who having heard rebelled? Indeed, was it not those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now when he was angry 40 years, was it not all those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? See, he was trying to bring permanence into their lives, to take them into a promised land, but they resisted. So he says in verse 17, now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. See, our belief in Him brings us to obedience. That belief in who He is, belief in His love, His care for you, is what causes you to love God and keep His commandments. It doesn't start with trying to keep the rules. It starts with a love for God, an appreciation for who God is. And so he says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. In other words, Look to who God is. Take note. Fear the Lord. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith by those who heard it. The promise that Jesus gave you is if you love Him and keep His word, He will abide in you. He will abide in you. Not maybe, not probably. He said, if you love me and keep my word, my Father and I will come, we will make our home with you. Now how awesome is that? We stand here, or sit, as it may be today, with this promise that God wants to make a home in your life. See, you don't have to have doubt about that. You can believe, you can hear the word and mix it with faith and say, I believe that. And that belief is what gets you up in the morning. That belief is what keeps you up at night, pressing in to find who God is. I want you, Lord God. I want you in my life. I want you showing me who you are and revealing yourself to me. He wants us to enter that place of rest, and we will enter His rest when we determine to make our lives a place for His rest. He's wanting to come in. He's giving us of His Spirit. He's saying, stop resisting me. Let me in. Make your life a place where God is comfortable to live. And God is saying, I will make my home there and I will give you rest. Whatever you desire to give to God, He says, give and it will come back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You can't outgive. If you're worshiping God, when you are praising His name, He wants to come and be among you. You say, I bless you. He says, I bless you. I love you. I love you. He keeps giving of who He is to you. He keeps giving of His life to you. See, what's cool is when God enters a home, He likes to make it nice. When God dwells in your life, He likes it to be abundant and prosperous in all the spiritual ways that you and I could ever desire. Make your life a place where God is welcome. And God will make your life that place that you want today. If you put the effort in, He is saying, I'm here for you. But He wants to see that we have this heart that made David so special. Let's look at that heart again in Psalm 132. Notice here in Psalm 132, beginning in verse 1, Lord, remember David and all his afflictions. How he swore to the Lord and vowed to the Mighty One of Jacob, surely I will not go into the chamber of my house or go up to the comfort of my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Jacob. I don't have comfort in this life apart from God. They sang the song, nothing. We're nothing without you. Nothing. What do we have? How can we go to sleep? How can we go to rest if we don't have that place where God is wanting to abide? I just love this. This is the heart that God is challenging us. He's saying, remember this. Surely, verse 3, I will not go into the chamber of my house or go up to the comfort of my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Jacob. I will stop striving with Him. I will let Him have His home in me. I will let Him have His place. Behold, we have heard in Ephrathah. We found it in the fields of the woods. Let us go into His tabernacle. Let us worship at His footstool. Arise, O Lord, to your resting place. You and the ark of your strength, let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy Because you have this place with God. When He dwells in you and He's filling you, this is where life happens. And everything outside of that is nothing. If the heart isn't for praising God, for blessing God, for looking to God and saying, be welcome here, our lives are like a mess. For your servant David's sake, do not turn away the face of your anointed, your Messiah, the Holy One. The Lord has sworn in truth to David, He will not turn from it. I will set upon your throne the fruit of your body. If your sons keep my covenant and my testimony, which I shall teach them, their sons also shall sit upon your throne forevermore. You make a place for God, and God makes a place for you and your children. For the Lord has chosen Zion. Zion, sometimes it refers to a place, the place, Jerusalem. But in other times, he actually says in Isaiah, Zion is the people of God. God has chosen you as a place where He wants to dwell, where He wants to reside. God has chosen Zion. He has desired it for His dwelling place. Friends, God wants to dwell in your life. He wants to make His home in you. I'm asking you, what is it that is keeping Him from doing it in you? If He is not in you as a home now, why not? Why not? And if He is, then rejoice and praise Him. But these are the days of being honest, where we must say, is He really dwelling in me? Is His home in me? There's no reason to come and play church and play the game that I have God if you know in your heart you don't. These are the days to go to the Lord and say, I ain't feeling it. I'm not experiencing this. I'm not experiencing you in my life. I need you. Don't play the game and prolong what is inevitable. Your day, your comeuppance, when you come before God and finally confess whatever it is God's leading you to confess, to say, this is it. Stop resisting. Let my Spirit in. Too long you've gone your own way. Too long you thought you knew what was right. Too long you said, if I just do this, I'm good with God. When all along God is saying, let me in. I want to dwell in your heart. I want to be there in that dwelling place. He says, I desire it. That's why Stephen was crying out there in Acts 7. That is the heart of God crying out, why are you doing this? When all I want to do is dwell in you. Just knock it off. Let me into your life. Stop resisting. Verse 14, this is my resting place forever. And God wants you to be His resting place forever. He says, here I will dwell, for I have desired it. What a great promise we've been given. The eternity to know God and His Son, saying, this is the desire of my heart. Friends, you are the desire of God's heart. That His place would be with you. And He says, and I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There I will make the horn of David grow. I will prepare a lamp for my anointed one. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but upon himself his crown shall flourish. When God is all and in all of your life, when God is everything in everything, when there's not a part of your heart where He doesn't have supremacy, where the kingdom of God is reigning first in you, where Jesus has dominion over every aspect of life, when you are an offering made by fire to the Lord, completely and wholly consumed, a burnt offering that is a pleasing aroma to our God. That is what He is yearning for. He is looking for those who will give their whole being to Him and will not settle for cutting God short in any way. God, You are welcome in my kitchen. You are welcome in my office. You are welcome in the bedrooms. You are welcome in the pool. You are welcome everywhere. Because I do not put a restriction on You. Sit in my room and we'll put the entertainment on. You will be pleased. We will go for a walk and be pleased. We will dwell together in everything. And there will be nothing in my life where I say, God, this is where You have to leave now because I want to be comfortable doing something else. And I know You'll be uncomfortable. Those days got to be gone. Root them out. Identify it. Where is God uncomfortable in your life? And say, enough. Quit playing the games and say, this is the day of repentance. This is the day of my turning. This is the day of my dedication to You, God. And then the Spirit of God can come and make a home. Because You've shown Your dedication, Your love, and Your desire to follow His Word. But if you don't have that heart, just know your carnal mind is going to keep fighting. Because the carnal mind is at enmity with God. It is not subject to His law, neither indeed can be. It keeps resisting what God is trying to do in writing His perfect law on your heart and mind. And that law will always show itself out in the truth of a love for God first and a love for neighbor second. Always. 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 That is the fruit. So if you're saying, do I have God abiding? Is His law proceeding forth from your heart? Is that love emanating out? Are you laying down your life for those whom God has said, I've laid down my life? Husbands, love your wives. Wives, respect your husbands. Fathers, bring your children up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Do not provoke them to anger. Mothers, nurture your children. Love them. Encourage them. Bring them up in the training of the Lord. Demonstrate that you have a passion for God that brings you to the place where He resides forever. Let's finish now in Revelation chapter 21. Just want to read these verses. Read them at the feast, but they are so beautiful. When you know that God has been searching in you and me for a place where we will stop fighting and stop resisting, where we will allow Him to have His holy, sanctified, purified home, a place where He will abide and where He will have His rest and where we will enter that rest. Revelation 21, verse 1. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And that's what we become, a new place, a new creation, when Christ is in us. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle, or the dwelling place of God, is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. That's the permanent home that God is looking to build in your life. I'm asking you, are you allowing Him in? Will you allow Jesus Christ to take His place in your life now by the Holy Spirit? If you don't have God dwelling in you, I want you to ask, why not? Why not? Now, He is to be our all in all. I just want to pray right now. I want to ask God to just bless us with this message that it would sink in our hearts. But I'm also wanting to extend you an invitation that as we worship and even after worship, if you have any burden before God in your life where you're like, I know I'm resisting and I'm not even sure why, let's pray about it together. Let's pray and ask God to reveal and show what is going on in your heart, in your mind, so that the barriers can come down, so that God can come in. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we just love You so much. We thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your holiness. We thank You, God, that you have said that if we love you and keep your word, that you will come and make a home in us. And God, we know there is nothing that we have that is good or that is lasting outside of you. Everything in this world is vanity and will be burned up. But those things which are permanent, those things which you teach us by your Spirit, those things that you live by are everlasting, from everlasting to everlasting. Father, pour your Spirit out on this place to the glory and the honor of your Son Jesus, that in the hearts and the minds of the people that are here now as we pray before you, that you would just come in, and God, that you would so convict us of our sin, and that you would convict us of your righteousness, that you would transform us to be a place where you can rest and where you can dwell within us. Father, I know there are people in this room who are resisting. And God, I ask that you would show to them, and I pray that you would just give them a desire to let go of what is in their heart that pushes against you, what is unsettled, what parts of life want to be held on to that are keeping you from taking your place as sovereign in their lives. Father, I pray that you would show us all where we are not exalting you as Lord in our lives, that you would show us where we are not lifting you up, that we are giving you the supremacy and the say with our heart, with our time, with our energies for you, God. We just praise you and thank you for your holiness and your goodness. And Father, I pray that you would just so completely cleanse us from our unrighteousness that we can see how you are to be everything in our lives, in every aspect of our lives, that you and your Son would be glorified. Father, we thank you for your patience with us, and we ask that you would break through any hard-heartedness, any uncircumcised heart today, and God, that you would just tear down the walls and put a spirit of repentance in us that leads us back to you with tears of rejoicing, that we are unburdened from what has oppressed us, and we are freed to worship you in spirit and in truth. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.